Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for these words of scripture we've heard today. And now we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can understand what you are saying to us through them. This prayer we make in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please be seated. It's wonderful to see so many people have come out despite the virus. But unfortunately, coronavirus is going to be part of this sermon, and I always intended it to be. I spent the best part of last week, actually, putting in procedures and precautions around coronavirus, answering questions from my clients and all that sort of stuff. And one of the things that I keep repeating again and again and again is the most important thing is to wash your hands. Keep your hands clean, you all know that. How long for? How long do you wash your hands for? 20 seconds. Someone's been saying, sing happy birthday to yourself? No. Don't sing happy birthday to yourself once or twice. Wash your hands and say the Lord's Prayer. And by the time you finish the Lord's Prayer, you've washed your hands well enough. And you've had two added benefits. One, you've said a prayer, always good. Second, if you're in a public place, you've taken God into your front line. Okay? That's what you call linking. Okay. So today, we're going to continue talking about worship in the wilderness. And today we're looking at, well, sadness, really. There's a lovely word in the, I don't know if any of you are following the sermon series online, but in the writings there, it uses a word I love. It's about lament. Lamentation. I love that word. Good old English word. But it's about how we meet God and how God meets us in times of trouble. How we meet God and how God meets us in times of trouble. Before I get on to that, I actually want to talk a little about what is the wilderness? What do we mean, wilderness? A desert? Yeah, a place without electricity? No smartphones? What would make your life into a wilderness? You see, the world of Moses and then the world that John is describing, the world of Lazarus, the world that Jesus walked in, although they were many years apart, excuse me, I've had that cough a long time, honestly. Yeah. Although there were many years between Moses and the coming of Jesus, society had not moved on all that much. And the wilderness for Moses was just to be away from settled people. See, it's where you have community, which is brilliant, community is wonderful, you are distracted. And to go in the wilderness, yes, it is dangerous. You know, wilderness starts with the word wild. There's a reason. Yeah, the wild animals are there. There is danger in the wilderness. People who live in the wilderness, yeah, they could be religious hermits, but they're more likely to be robbers. Yeah, in those days. Yeah, so the wilderness was quite easy to define. It's much more difficult for us. Much more difficult for us to define what the wilderness is. How do we get away from all these distractions? But we need to if we're going to listen to God and if God is going to reach us. And that's what we have in these two wonderful readings today. You see, God needed to talk to Moses. The story tells us quite clearly, God has heard his people calling out. And actually, if you read Exodus, and we've got to be honest here, some of us are going to self-isolate in the next few weeks, yeah? So, you know, read your Bible. Yeah, it's a big old thing. Exodus would be a good one to read. What it's telling us in Exodus, if you read that story, is the oppression of the people of God, the Jewish people, is there, it's definite. And God hears them calling out. If you read the story, a lot of that calling out is not faithful prayer to a God they expect to save them. A lot of it is frankly whinging. Yeah, but they're calling out to God. And God takes pity on them. And he decides he's going to do something. And he decides the instrument that he's going to use is Moses. Yeah? Moses is blissfully ignorant of this. And Moses doesn't believe he can do it anyway. So God has to get his attention. So he waits. He doesn't wait until he's sitting down with his family having dinner. He waits till Moses has taken the flocks out into the wilderness. He's got him without any distractions. Yeah? There's no mobile phone signal. Yeah, there's no kids. There's no TV. There's nothing. Just the flocks and the wilderness and a burning bush. And Moses sees this bush and it sort of gets his attention. And that makes sense to me. You're walking in the wilderness and suddenly this bush bursts into flames but doesn't burn. Yeah, you're going to have a look. And that's what God's done. He's grabbed him because in this place, he can get his attention. And you might think that, well, actually, you didn't have to be in the wilderness for that to happen. Because if I was walking through a park and a bush burst into flames, I'd notice it. You might not, you know. You really might not. We get so absorbed into our lives, my life. We get so self-focused that we can ignore loads of things. There's a lovely video which is on the internet. I was thinking of showing it to you, but I hate using technology in sermons. I did use it once before, and it's a little snip, video clip, of some kids, teenagers, and they're playing with basketball. And they're bouncing it to each other. Anyone seen it? Yeah. And they're bouncing this ball to each other. Some have got black t-shirts on, some have got white t-shirts on. And you show this video and you say, count how many times kids with black t-shirts touch the ball. Yeah? But you've got to give the warning, part of the way through, someone's going to lob in a second ball. So you've got to watch both balls. And everyone watches. And they see this video and they turn this ball around. And I think it's 16 times is the answer. And everyone gets it. And then you say, what about the gorilla? And part of the way through this video clip, behind the kids, a lift opens. And out steps a guy in a gorilla suit. And he walks to the front, beats his chest, and walks off. Nobody sees him. Because everyone's focused on how many times are the kids in the black t-shirts going to touch the ball. Google it, it's true. Yeah? I showed that video in a church I used to be in. And in the congregation was a lady, a doctor of theology, who taught me. And at the end of the service, she actually went and checked that I hadn't shown two videos. Which, yeah, I took that as a big insult. But the thing is, we can be so self-focused that we can ignore burning bushes. Yeah. So God has to grab your attention. And he wants you sometimes to be in a wilderness to do that. Yeah. One of the really amazing things about this story is you hear it and Moses is there and he sees this bush burning. Wow, burning bush. Must go and have a look. Yeah? And he's quite amazed at what he's told to do. Don't really know if I can do that, God. Doesn't seem surprised that the bush speaks to him. Yeah? Which is something, isn't it? But God will speak to you in the wilderness. So where's our wilderness if God wants to get hold of us? It's the time we set aside where we're not distracted. And that would be different for each of us. Yeah, because something that I find quite relaxing and you know, I can chill and I'm in a place to listen to God might be very different to you. But God will find your wilderness moments and he will come to you. That's quite amazing. And that's the first part, really, of what this talk is about, is how God puts us into a wilderness to talk to us. But of course, you've got to listen. You've got to be willing to listen and to look. But God will do that. The second part of this talk is, how do we find God when we're in a bad place, when we're lamenting, when things get tough? We heard that beautiful story today from John's Gospel. Lazarus has died. Martha and Mary are beside themselves with grief. They need help. They need comfort. For different reasons, maybe through bereavement, maybe through all sorts of different things that happen in our lives, I'm sure we have all been in that place. In that place of great sadness, of great pain, we need God. Years ago, I was going to a bad place myself. I won't bore you with all the details. It was a long time ago. I'm over it. But I was in a very, very bad place, and I didn't feel good at all. And my doctor had said, you just need to take time out and relax. And so I went to a wilderness, my wilderness. I went to a Franciscan friary and spent a week living with the Franciscans in silence. Those of you who know me even a little bit will know I don't do silence particularly well. Yeah, it's not my favorite thing. But it was a great week. And I had a great week of being in a wilderness. And actually, the friary was pretty well a wilderness. But I had a great time meeting with God. Yeah, and you go on a silent retreat for a week, you meet with God. You will. And it was great. And I'd love to tell you that because of that, I came back from the friary refreshed, re-energized, and ready to go. I came back from the friary, I went to see my doctor, she did some more tests, and I was in the back of an ambulance and spent the next 6 weeks in the cardiology department of the local hospital. So it didn't help, did it? But it did, because I'd had that week of being with God. So when things got really bad, it was a lot easier. It was a lot easier. If you go and seek God out, meet him in your wilderness, he will be there. And this wonderful story today shows us something that I think is truly, truly wonderful about God. About how he knows our needs and responds accordingly. So I've got to check my notes because I always get poor Mary and Martha around the wrong way. So you've got Martha, who meets Jesus first. And if you read the reading again, you'll see that both Mary and Martha say the same thing. If you'd come here earlier, our brother wouldn't have died. So they've got the same problem, but they haven't. Martha wants something different. And the conversation between Martha and Jesus is the conversation of a student with a teacher. And it's very heavily theological. Yeah, it talks about resurrection. It's a really important part of the Bible for theologians. Mary, on the other hand, is just a gibbering wreck. She just needs someone to put an arm around her and to love her, to empathize with her. And that's what Jesus does. Mary is at Jesus' feet, crying, weeping. And what does Jesus do? A little trivial fact for you. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Because weeping was the right response. Jesus came into Mary's pain, into her wilderness and empathized. Put his arms around her and was with her. Now, I've got to tell you, because I've experienced it myself, there are other ways Jesus might meet you. Yeah? There are times when Jesus comes with quite an angry voice and chastises you because you haven't done what you're supposed to have done. I know this is true. Yeah? But he will come. And what comes out of it is always good, is always better. But you have to meet him. You have to meet him. And so often, when we find ourselves in a wilderness and we think the world is ended, it's awful, it cannot get any worse, we're not willing to see that Jesus is there. We're not willing to see the gorilla that's walked out of the lift. We're not willing to let Jesus get close to us. But he wants to. And we need to allow him. We need to allow him to. See, the thing about God, and this comes from a really heavy book of theology some of you may have read. It's called Narnia Stories. Yeah, so anyone familiar with the stories of Narnia, C.S. Lewis? Yeah, I can't remember which book it is, but in one of them, one of the animals is talking about Aslan, who's God, and says, you can't tame Aslan. Aslan is a wild animal. God is wild. And I mean that in the sense that he is not tameable. We try to. Yeah, I sometimes think that's why we build such big cathedrals and big churches. Yeah, we can put God in here. Yeah, maybe have a little altar. We can have a casket on there in gold leaf and put God in there. You can't do that. You can't tame God. God belongs in the wilderness. God belongs in nature. Do you know, I firmly believe that if you could hitch a lift on the Starship Enterprise and go boldly where no one has been before, when Scotty beams you down onto planet Zarg, God will be there waiting for you. God created the universe. He's in all of it. There is nowhere you can find yourself that God isn't already there. There's nowhere you can be where God is not already there. I find that fantastic. One last personal anecdote, then I want to add something else. Some of you who've been here when I've been celebrating communion will know I always do the big thing about the Lord is here. And the reason I do that is the very first time I celebrated communion at a church in Peasedown, St. John, just outside of Bath. As I was preparing the table, it suddenly struck me, I was now an ordained priest, and I was going to do something which was really quite phenomenal, celebrate communion. And then I thought, well, actually, I'm not doing anything phenomenal. The phenomenal thing has already been done, and Jesus is here. Jesus is here in Portman Road. Yeah, Jesus is here in St. Matthew's Church today. And while we might not be allowed to embrace each other and shake hands and share the peace, I promise you now, God is putting his arms around each and every one of us and loving us. Whether we're in a wilderness or we think we're in a pretty good place, God will be there with us. And when I came through the doors this morning, that was where I was going to finish my sermon. And then this lady spoke. And it suddenly struck me that what I'm talking about is how God can meet us, seek us out in our wilderness, and how we can seek him out when we're in our wilderness. What about what we can do for people who are in a wilderness of their own? The people so beautifully described to us, thank you so much for that. The people who, through no fault of their own, need help. You see, I think God is calling us to do that. I think that's part of the wilderness worship. Is God sending us into other people's wilderness? We've spoken a lot about going on our front lines. Maybe we have to step beyond our front lines, step outside of our comfort zone, and take the love that God has given us to people who are in desperate need of it. And I ask you all really to pray about whether you should be stepping forward to respond to that call for help. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you do meet us wherever we are. You meet us regardless of how we feel, whether we are elated or we are depressed, whether we are joyful or we are lamenting. You are a God of all seasons, of all places. And Lord, our only response to that can be to say, we love you. We worship you. We adore you. Amen.